Hello everyone, it's Rory McNamara here, one third of the Special Relations, letting you know what you are about to hear over the next 2 hours. Back on Sunday the 29th of March 2020, Callum, Ben and I recorded a live edition of the Special Relations podcast in which we live watched the Monday Night Raw from September 22nd 1997. If that date rings a bell for you, then well, it should, quite frankly. When you sit down and watch it with us, it will all come flooding back to you. In addition to that, a couple of very special guests drop in during the recording. I will leave you in suspense as to who that might be, but do listen on. This is very much Special Relations, warts and also unedited, unexpurgated, uncooked and uncensored, if you will. No changes have been made from the original recording, in case you missed it a couple of weeks ago, or if you just want to relive it again, then do sit back and enjoy the next 2 hours of the Special Relations chatting with the chaps. And remember, everybody, please keep safe.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to Chatting with the Chaps, a Special Relations live special. I am currently by myself because this is completely new to us all, and I have no idea what I'm doing, so please bear with me. Joining me at some point will be my colleagues Rory and Ben. I tried to add them as guests and it didn't work at all. So they're going to call in, and speak of the devil and he shall appear. Mr. Ben Locke is looking to call in to us just now. Ben, are you there?
First time, long time. How are you?
There we go. So to give you the proper introduction, as I would on a normal podcast, he's not quite Sergeant Slaughter, but he has been on the front line this week. It's Mr. Ben Locke. Ben, how are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, I'm enjoying my day off. What's go that far?
You deserve it. You deserve it. and here we go. This is seamless. Also joining us tonight, all the way from his front room, is the one, the only, Rory McNamara. Rory, how are you?
His unmade bed, to be precise. Hello, everyone.
Oh, excellent.
There's the image, kids.
I'm currently working from a makeshift home office, which has got Easter eggs, disinfectant wipes, 3 laptops on it. It's just an absolute nightmare.
All of life's essentials.
Exactly. Although I did see people... did you see the papers yesterday? People were getting slagged for going out to carry, to get the essentials, and guys were coming out with wallpaper and paint out of B&Q. It's like, if you had a nagging missus, would you not be using the time to get all your painting and wallpaper in there? I would suggest it would be essential.
Everybody's going to get a bit of cabin fever eventually. We can't just all be sitting around.
Or may not have bought some jeans from Sainsbury's yesterday. Let the record state, I did not go there specifically solely to get jeans. We did spend £110 worth of actual stuff as well.
And in Sainsbury's, that gets you, what, 5 things?
Here we go. Rivalry all the way, eh, Ben?
Yeah. we have our first caller who wants to chat with the chaps.
Oh!
So we have bouncing on my screen just now is Place to Be Wrestling. So let's see how this goes.
Box number one.
Hello, caller number one. How are you, Mr. To Be Wrestling?
What is up, you British sons of bitches?
Unmistakable.
That sounds like a good friend from across the pond, Mr. JT Rizzero. JT, how you doing, my man?
I had to be the first caller to this epic showing here for the Special Relations lads. Hopefully all safe and sound, nestled in, whatever time it is over there. I don't know how to keep track anymore.
7 p.m. over here,
yeah. Yes.
I'm surprised Ben's awake, honestly. He had a long night.
I heard it was quite a successful night as well.
It went well. There was only a couple of complaints towards the end, but we managed it.
We did okay. Chad was the star.
He was.
Yeah, he's out promoting North South, so anyone that hears that knows where to tune in now.
And live and in living colour, I believe, as well.
So it was it was one of those 18 plus moments that was.
It's always special when it's 18 plus moments. That's it.
After dark, hashtag. So how's things on your end, JT? Everyone holding up? Everyone holding up across the pond?
Yeah, doing all right. Doing all right. Just doing some. Basically, all I do now is clean the house and watch wrestling. That's pretty much the extent of it. Is everyone all right? What's going on over there? Is that a teapot or is that a police car going by? I can't tell.
That does sound. Why? What is that?
I can't hear anything. Oh, in fact, it might be my washing machine, actually. I'm thinking I can't hear anything, but it might be the washing machine.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Is it landing from Mars? What the hell is it doing?
It's not a nuclear site. we've got someone else trying to infiltrate chatting with the chaps.
It's Sean Kidd. He went from like nonstop travel to now he's like the police officer that retires that doesn't know what the fuck to do with himself. Like, he has nothing to do.
He just pops up with the donuts every now and again.
Hey, you cool cats and kittens.
Let's call it call number two.
Who's this, I wonder?
It's the unmistakable voice of Carol Tim Capel.
Might as well destroy another live podcast.
Destroy is a strong word. I like to say enhance.
That's what Vince McMahon says too about his wrestler's body.
How y'all doing?
I'm okay. Funnily enough, I'm recovering from a late night, but I'm okay.
Same.
I'm recovering from a late night of crashing completely at 9:30 at night. I didn't even make it to 10:00.
I had a little power nap, you see, and then that kept me going.
Oh, I see. This lockdown, it tires you out.
Yeah, all this doing nothing.
That's doing nothing all day, you know. Shocking.
Well, I mean, you're obsessing and worrying all the time, trying to get your toilet paper, you know, it's exhausting.
But I thought, when I found out that lockdown might be coming, I went to 3 supermarkets to panic buy.
Oh, you were one of them, were you?
No, because it was good. I went to a supermarket and there was one packet of toilet paper left, and I thought, no, it's okay. I'll leave that for somebody who needs it more. But I did buy 2 packets of man-sized tissues just in case.
By the way, I know Impact still exists, but do they do a lockdown still as an event? I feel like this is a
yeah. Theory. I was thinking the same, JT. Yeah.
We're going to be watching a Raw, apparently. I think watching an old lockdown might be more on point.
Yeah, right. Forget WrestleMania; it's lockdown season.
I'm surprised Vince hasn't thought about putting every match in a cage as well, just to hammer home.
Separate cages, so you can have 6 feet of distance. You have one in each cage.
Well, they do have a warehouse full of shark cages, so.
True.
Maybe able to.
Is that where the Boneyard match is taking place? No. Or whatever it is.
Oh, come on.
Sorry.
There used to be a wing place around here called the Boneyard. That's what I think of when I keep hearing about this match.
I still haven't watched the whole card yet.
Well, you can't.
I know the big matches are coming for Empty Arena Mania, but I need to see everything else.
Well, you can go on Wikipedia just now, and you could probably safely say that half of these guys now aren't going to be doing it.
Yeah.
Because is The Miz not the latest one to go down with something?
Well, they've recorded it, haven't they? Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, last week. I think it's done now. I don't think they're recording anymore.
It was last Tuesday or Wednesday, I want to say.
Yeah, that was it.
because the BT Sport WWE pages, they were dropping a new promo for Drew in the Highlands. It did look pretty good, to be fair. Although I can't stick his accent.
Yeah, because the Roman news broke during the main event show, didn't it? He's not there.
I'm surprised it took them all that long to think that Roman doing it might not be a good idea.
Yeah, right. It's gonna be. They're gonna get roasted if one of these guys like dies. Oh. I mean, that's like the worst case scenario of all of them.
They're sailing pretty close to the wind with it as it is, you know. So
it's risky, especially if the truth is, you know, I don't know if that story's true, if it's proven or not, but that Miz went there sick or whatever for Mania pissed off a bunch of people. So.
God, just that's just crazy if he has done that. That's...
I'm actually reading the results of Lockdown 2005. I'm sure you're all interested to know what they are.
To be fair, Lockdown 2005, I still have a recording of that on VHS. It's actually quite a good show.
I have no recollection of this whatsoever.
Well, let's see how everyone does guess in the matches, and I'll know if I should use these questions on the next Body Press Your Luck or not.
when I'm on it. Yes, please do. Yes, okay.
Oh, yeah, two of you are on. Two of you on? What's the deal here? Do you figure it's like Demolition? Do we figure out which two are coming on yet?
We gotta get a two of the three.
But what you could do, since Ben and Rory sound like each other, I'll go on, and then halfway through, Ben and Rory can do a swap.
Yeah.
do a bit of twin magic.
That's what I think of when I think of twin magic.
I think we sound as much alike as Axe and Smash look alike. So the comparison does hold. Sorry, Jenny. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Here comes the Ben, here comes the Rory. It's just made for it.
Bum, 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 bum. Opening match of Lockdown 05.
I'm going to turn on this Lockdown show I hear so much about.
You have access to it?
All cage pay-per-view, Jeb.
Who would have thought there would ever be a day where a TNA pay-per-view would outdraw WrestleMania? But 775 folk in the Impact Zone. Yeah, that's 775 times more than there's going to be there at WrestleMania.
Now, this is where Chris Candido suffered his eventually fatal injury.
That match was cut from, because I've got it from the Wrestling Channel. So they cut it. They cut that match because we got it 2-3 days after.
You know, I may have that DVD. I'm in my cleaning up the closet I have with my giant shelf in here. And I remember I bought like some TNA DVD 3-pack or some shit at one point. Lockdown, what year are we talking about?
2005.
It's on
YouTube. Yeah, 05. I got it right here. I got the DVD right here on the shelf. It's like your skull, though. Pulling it right off the shelf for you.
Nice.
There's probably a lot of blood on here, too, Jenny. There's usually a... TNA was not afraid of blood.
Well, the whole thing is on YouTube, so...
There you go.
I'm just trying to think. The Prince of Darkness match, that's poor. That was like a...
Is that like a blindfold?
Yeah, but I think only the first... The third fall was a blindfold match or something. I don't know. I can't remember. Jeff Hardy Rage was quite good.
I will say Rory makes me... nostalgic for DVDs when he posts the picture of it when he's watching. Yeah. The only one left that actually pulls it off the shelf to put on, so I'm like, maybe I'll try that, and then I never do. But
there is something quite, dare I say, romantic about watching DVDs these days, even if it's disc 3 of the Edge DVD set.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at the Edge one right here. I got it right here. It's funny because I have a bunch that I got like right when the network launched that I never watched. It was like a month before, 2 months before, they had like a big sale on the shop, and I ordered a bunch. Like, I think it was like the Mick Foley one and a couple others. And even like the WCW matches, and that are really just completely useless now with the network. You know, the best of
the compilation ones are.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember just before, it was Silvervision, wasn't it, chaps, before it went to WWE DVD?
It certainly was.
Yeah, it was.
It was like for £10. I just did like a random selection, ended up with things like Armageddon 2007 and stuff like that. Not one I get off the shelf very often. Cyber Sunday 06. Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, dear God. just because they were on sale, Rory, doesn't mean you had to buy them.
this was the dark days of pre-network. Yeah, thank you.
Well, we were jealous of Silvervision because you guys had stuff on DVD that we didn't. Like, they weren't putting stuff out. They were doing those Tag Classics or whatever.
Oh, Tag Classics.
Yeah, we didn't have those. And like, we were like, fuck, we'd love to have those on DVD at that time. This is older stuff that wasn't there. So, like, Older Your Houses and Survivors, like, all that
King
stuff.
Of the Ring 93, 94, I've got that one on Tag.
I've got that one. Yeah, I've got that one.
We were like, shit, that'd be awesome. We actually, I remember looking into getting, like, a region-free DVD player to order them.
I remember coming back with a stack of DVDs one time from the States because you could change, or they settled in the model of the PlayStation I had, you could change what region it was. So you could change for the DVDs that you were playing. It was great.
That washing machine is going 10 to the dozen, Carlos.
Sounds like a fireworks.
Give me 2 seconds. I'll close the door. I'm standing right out. I'm sitting right outside it. 2 seconds.
That's what happens when you're live.
Live, pal.
Okay, so that should be it now, hopefully.
Was that the good lady in the background shouting at you?
No, she's away at the supermarket.
Ah, okay.
She's already been today, but she's away back out again.
She's gone twice.
She's gone twice, yeah, because she went to Lidl, and it was quite successful. She spent £40 and came back with 12 bags worth. But now she's
it's a statement on you, Callum, that she wants to just keep risking it at the supermarket.
She's been hinting to me all week to go home. I'm thinking, no, we're on lockdown, we will stay together. But everyone at work's got a wager on when she's actually going to put me out. She's going to throw all her stuff at the front door.
So maybe she's trying to get it, so then she's like, yeah, you really shouldn't come in here.
Well, at her first trip out, she came back and said, somebody coughed on me. I'm like, oh, excellent. Wonderful.
Well, you really don't take a hint, do you, Callum?
No.
But yeah, I checked my fever. I got a fever. I checked my temperature.
Yeah.
Coming back I'm constantly so coughing, I know. I know. I probably should have said, do you know what? It's okay. I'll go. Once I've finished what I'm going to do tonight, I'll go. I'll risk my life for you. And she's like, no, it's okay. I'll go just now.
I'll get out of your way for a bit.
Fucking Kevin Nash is showing me his staph infection on this show. What are we doing?
I thought that was going to take a turn for the worse there.
Kevin Nash is going to show his dot.
I think Kevin Nash has got a Nobbs-esque picture as well, has he not?
Does he?
I think so. Not of his that, but
his what now?
His arsehole.
I gotta dip out. Kids are invading. Have a great rest of the show. I was honored to be on, and I'll talk to you all soon.
Oh, thanks for coming on, man.
Take care, JT.
Thanks, JT.
Cheers. And then there was one, just the queen of obscene herself.
Well, you know, what else I got to do?
We're starting this 2 days early.
This is our first live show, and we've already had PTBN royalty just coming out of everywhere.
Well, we love you guys.
Oh, y'all shucks.
Stop it.
You're just saying that. please keep just saying it. It's fine.
It's good. It's good for the ego.
Yeah, we like the ego boost.
Do what I can.
So how's Jenny? How's Jenny doing in these times of whatever the fuck we're doing just now?
Well, it's up and down. I'm still real bummed about Mania. Like,
yeah,
I know. I keep talking about it, but like, I just keep thinking about it, and it really sucks.
Especially now, you know, just a few days. Yeah, ugh. If you're actually going, it's just an absolute kick in the teeth.
And it just keeps building. Like, we've been waiting and waiting, you know, forever, and now it's like time has stood still, and it's still to come. Like, you still have to get through next weekend, and you're like, I don't know how to do that anymore. But we will. I mean, we will. I'm on the fence about even watching the shows.
I don't particularly want to watch them, to be honest.
I won't be watching them live, inverted commas. No way. I won't be staying up till 3 a.m. or whenever it is. Not a chance.
I don't blame you. I really don't. And if I do, it'll just be for the podcast reaction shows. And that's pretty much it.
I might watch. I was thinking of maybe watching the Saturday, but I've got a funny feeling that I'll just be a bit. I watched the first SmackDown that was at the PC, and it was a bit depressing.
It is.
Once the novelty factor of it being behind closed doors and the performance in it, after a while it hit home why they're doing it, and it's just like, oh no, this is a bit shit.
They're basically just treating it like a TV show, aren't they? But without the audience, you know. So it's like your late night talk show without an audience. It just doesn't work without having that reaction there.
Yeah. I think, did you see Colt Cabana on Dynamite was it last week, where he got up and started clapping, and then he just looked around and started realising there was nobody there?
Yeah.
Like that's making the best of a bad situation, but you can't have 2 3-hour shows trying to make the best of a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always next year.
Hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
But that's a whole nother year.
I'm trying to make you feel better.
I know, but it's sad.
Although, I'm hoping there's one in the East Coast for 2022. That's going back in the East Coast, and I'll be there. Or something that's not LA.
I wanted to do a Mania before I'm 40, so next year it's next year or bust, basically, for that.
Do it.
I nearly did this year, didn't I? I was going to.
Yeah.
Thank God that didn't happen in the end, but
something like that. But I don't think we'll be able to have like a legit tailgate like we were planning to. In LA. So I mean, that's kind of sucky, but we'll just be happy to be there, I think.
Next year will be better than Mania 17 for sure, says our good friend Sean. He is loyal to the death for the anti-Mania 17.
Well, I mean,
you didn't hear his opinion last night either.
No.
Savage Steamboat is 2.5 stars at best.
Wow. Great takes, says Sean.
He backed it up. Well, he tried to back it up at least.
Well, Sean, he was all proud of influencing Chad Campbell's star ratings.
He was.
Which I don't think he had much influence on that. It was just Chad reevaluating the match after having watched it.
What was it? From a 9.4 to an 8.8.
Something like that.
I mean, that 0.7 makes all the difference. 0.6, I don't know. My maths is gone.
There were some 10 matches in there. Somebody did ask the question, have you got anything at 10? So what was it? One of the Flair Steamboats in Austin Hardy had at 10.
Yeah.
Ah, there we go.
I wonder where they put Bob Backlund against Bret Hart from Survivor Series 1994, Rory.
Only twats don't have that as a 10, as we well know.
Sean is right. He bumped Vince Hogan up to a 10.
I mean, I can completely understand that.
Callum, to be honest, that was the one. That was the match that lit the room up last night. That was.
Well, I just wanted to give your card some mid-card space, Ben.
Well, we had a lot of mid card.
There was a lot of mid card space. To be fair, I've seen the card that was.
We just didn't have proper main events.
Well, you did. The actual main event was.
Yeah.
Surely Edge didn't bring it down that much.
It was just long. It was just so long.
How long is it? I can't remember how long it is.
About 35 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Really? No. Honestly, my list is 35. No way.
Honestly, go on the network and go through. Well, we're all on the network now, probably. But go have a look at the chapter thing, and
including entrances.
Yeah, 35 including everything.
Fair enough.
At that point of the evening when everybody's flagging a little, it was like,
The match is 24:03. There you are.
And it felt like 54:03. No.
And it made my list, so there.
It is a good match, but much like every WrestleMania I've ever watched, it's not really a good match at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, that's fair comment. I'll give you that. What say we do what we are here for?
Let's go. Yes, I am queued up and ready.
As am I.
Tell the wrestling crazed youngsters what they've got in store with us for the next 90 minutes, and if they want to join us.
Okay, you young whippersnappers. Sorry, Callum. We have got
you. Your idea.
We have got an edition of Monday Night Raw from the September 22nd, 1997. If that date sounds familiar, this is the Raw from Madison Square Garden with Austin and Vince and all that.
Yes.
And I believe it's got a match that was on my GWWE list. You might remember from one of the 10 hours that we recorded that.
Only one.
10
hours.
10. All right,
I'm going to dip out and let you guys do that. Keep going. Do a good job.
Thank you, honey.
Use your little soundboard there with the sound effects, okay? Because that really adds a lot.
But Jenny, there's a couch. We're going to Madison Square Garden. There's a couch that needs to be slept on just now.
Yeah, I'm going to go take a nap on it right now.
Thank you, Jen.
God love you, Jen.
Thank you, boys. Talk to you
later.
See you soon.
What a gal. Right, where are we?
We have had some PTBN royalty on, and we've had Sean... You know,
Sean's lingering. He might be banging
the drum for anti WrestleMania 17.
Some might say we're peaking early here, gentlemen. To coin a phrase. No, the big guns are weighing in nice and early.
Sean might actually. He's nursing a hangover. I know the feeling, sir. I know the feeling. My thoughts are with you.
Right then.
We've all been there.
Let's hang see if on we can help there. Over the next 90. Are we all queued up and ready to roll?
I am ready.
I'm on all the zeros just now.
Yep. So if you're listening, everybody, I'm sure you know the one. Raw, September 22nd, 1997 on the award-winning WWE Network. I'll count us in on three. So we'll hit play together on 1, 2, 3. And we're in. That classic introduction.
This takes me back. Yeah.
Instantly back. Yeah, this is
the worldwide leader in sports entertainment.
Friday nights were just my life at this point when we got Raw for the first time.
Friday nights at 10.
You better believe it.
That's instantly shocked me that they've got Hulk Hogan and a picture of Hulk Hogan winning the title in September 1997 on Raw.
Superstar there. There's Bobby B. Oh, I watched that Moolah Dark Side of the Ring the other night. I had not seen that one.
That's a very Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah.
Are those documentaries easy to get hold of over here via the YouTubes or something? Because I haven't seen any of them yet.
I believe Series 1 is on all four.
I know
I've watched them on Now TV, so I'm guessing they're on Sky if you search for them.
I think they are, yeah, because they've got all the 4 on demand stuff.
Yeah, the Benoit ones are on YouTube, so I've seen that. I've seen them.
Cool.
I am desperate to watch the one about Herb Abrams UWF. That is going to be an absolute riot.
I'm surprised. I'm not watching Death, but trivializing Death in any way here. I am surprised they have included Benoit and Owen in the same season. Like, if you're going to spread it out, you know, so, like, Owen, so obviously, not like I say, I'm not trivializing Death, but in terms of big headline to bring the viewers in, you would not put them two together in the same season. You'd spread it out a bit.
Benoit might have been a later season entry because that's just going to have people watching it regardless. Mm. I've heard it's an absolute belter, though.
It is good. It's not going to surprise you. It's very dark, but it is good. I think the reason they bumped it up to the top of the thing, to the top of it, is because of what happened at the end of the episode. And it is one of those things, if you aren't moved or don't cry at the end of the episode, frankly, you've got a heart of stone.
Is this... Spoilers, don't listen for the next 5 seconds if you've not seen it yet. But is this the one that... is it Daniel meets Nancy's sister or something?
Correct.
Is that the first time he's seen her since the whole thing happened?
So, first time... I think it's the first time they've seen each other in 14 years.
Jesus. Oh, is that God. How long it's been?
Well, it was 13 years since it happened, but I don't know. I think it was like 14 years since they've been together in the same room, you know.
I remember exactly where I was when I heard this film.
Yeah, I was driving home from work, and I was like, what?
I was on holiday in Florida, and I remember being really, really excited that I could see Raw live at a proper time. I flicked it on, waited for it. I can't remember what was on before, but I watched whatever was on before on the USA Network for about half an hour waiting for this to come on, and then seeing the graphic at the start, and my heart completely sank. And it was all over the news, like every mainstream news outlet you could find, it was over there. Fox, ESPN, CNN, everywhere.
Well, I was driving home from work, and when it's on Radio 1 Newsbeat, you know it's a big story. It's like, what? Yeah. And then, but like I say, the documentary is superb because it doesn't really hide away from anything. Like the first part, the whole Benoit, Nancy, Kevin Sullivan triangle only gets about 5-10 minutes. And I was like, that's a whole episode on its own. You know, a man booking his own divorce, basically.
Plus you've got the Kevin Sullivan truthers as well.
Yeah. Well, he's not, to be fair, he's the only sort of person you'd expect to be on there who isn't on there. Malenko's on there, Jericho's on there, Vicky Chavo are on there, but no Sullivan.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at that, you know.
They probably tried to get him. It's basically like the AEW crowd. That's what it is, but it's pretty much.
He's on some of the Monday Night War documentaries, if that helps. It probably doesn't.
Anyway, let's go back to this match. Here's the Sarge. He's going to be telling the nation what to go away, I think, after they've done the salute.
I mean, everyone says that Jack Tunney was a bit useless, but like Sergeant Slaughter, for being an alleged military man, is completely fucking useless when it comes to anything authoritative.
Well, I don't think it's quite happened yet, has it? But the minute the DX put the spit guard on the face, his sort of aura was... What little aura he had was just gone from that point.
And it's the big bazooka. Leading to that match at In Your House, the Generation X. Between Triple H and Sergeant Slaughter. That's where it all began for the Triple H epics. We can trace it all back to the Generation X in December 97.
How long was that match? It was about 25 minutes or something.
It was long enough. The Intercontinental Championship tournament bracket here.
Yes.
I'll have a good tournament.
To be fair, I think this might be, like, the collection of titles is brilliant, but it might be, like, the worst tournament ever in terms of, like, injuries and booking, because obviously Owen and Pillman don't wrestle. Farouk goes straight to the... Oh, I'm going to spoil it. Farouk goes straight to the final, pretty much. You know, it's just like... It's like, what's the actual point of the tournament? Just give Owen back the title.
Poor Ahmed.
Speaking of injured.
what's the one where
he breaks his hand? Cuts his hand open on a stray nail or something. I think it might even be here. I think it is this match, actually.
I think so, yeah.
You might be right, though.
He has, used a whole bottle of baby oil. Look how shiny that man is.
I was about to say, how shiny is he?
Look at that, man.
And that Ahmed Johnson, and the big T gut has just started as well.
He must be one of the biggest what could have beens, surely.
Yeah, I mean,
definitely.
He clearly was meant to be, or going to be as well. I mean, if you watched in Survivor Series 95, he's the star of that match, the wildcard match. And I have no doubt at all that, okay, you can look about the way the booking with Shawn and Vader and all that, but end of 96. I think he would have been champion or very close to it. And how different things might have been. And this Raw might not have been happening the same way, you know?
He could have been the guy at, talking about Madison Square Garden. He could have been Sid at Survivor Series.
Maybe.
Well, that's Survivor Series 95. Am I right? Rory will know better than me. Am I right in thinking he was only the second man to slam Yoko at that point?
I believe so. Yes,
it could have been. Yeah.
Like, and that's his first match.
Yep.
What the frig is this fat sweaty pig doing out here?
Big fat sloppy pig.
Sloppy.
That doesn't surprise me one bit. Almost blown up here after 2 minutes already. The boy did himself just. He couldn't do himself any favours, let's say that.
What was Captain Lou's little angle at this point? Did he have one, or was it just something to pop the crowd because it's MSG?
Yeah, that might have something to do with it. I think this was the only week he did this.
That might be where the hand happened there. Look.
Oh, there we go. Yep.
That's the boy.
I think...
I'll shake it off.
I remember listening to Bruce Pritchard... episode on Ahmed Johnson. It was quite good. But he said that his problem was that once he got injured for the first time, he was scared of getting injured again, which made him more likely to get injured, perversely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like the old thing, our first and probably not last football reference of the day. If you think the ball's going to hurt you when you try to head it, it will hurt you.
Yeah. That's a nasty nick, isn't it? That is, eh?
That's going to leave a mark.
He's going to take the shot after that, bloody hell.
I quite like Bruce and Conrad, though. I know it's not very cool or PC to say it, but sorry.
The Rock would definitely... it's fine. The Rock would definitely get Le Magistral... down a bit better a few years on. That was fucking ugly.
That's one of the other things, isn't it? See how quickly he evolves. You know, how that line of improvement. This is what, September 97. It just 6 months later, it's a totally different guy.
And 6 months earlier, it was a completely different guy as well. Yeah, it was unbelievable. Yeah, yeah.
But he was just happy to be there. Going to give it 110%, you know.
Callum is taken in by this blood.
Jenny left far too early. She's getting, we've got a bloodbath now.
Well, she's watching Lockdown 2005.
Yeah, we set her up. We set her on that track. Which lockdown was that with the Rude and Storm match? About 2012, 2013, I think. I was really into TNA that season. It's quite wasn't it now that I can't remember what year that show was on.
It would have been 2012 because I think James Storm beat Kurt Angle, I think, in 2011.
Yeah.
It would have been 2012 they had their lockdown rematch.
I was so into that feud at that point.
That's the thing about TNA. Some of the, like, at some points they can be really, really good, but, and you have some glimmers of hope for them, but it's surrounded by absolute dross.
Yeah. Like that in Aces and Eight, I think, were like my last times I was paying any kind of attention to it.
Yeah, the next year, lockdown 2013, that was a good one. That was all Aces and Eights based. Yeah.
So there you go, Ahmed wins, and I'm pretty sure, like, he can't go after this with the hand. So good old Farouk just gets a bye straight through.
Yep, they changed the tournament again. Fucking Ahmed Johnson winning clean over Rocky Maivia in 5 minutes, in as late as September 97.
I was going to say that was clean, pretty much clean. That was clean as a sheet, wasn't it? Apart from
blows your mind, it really does.
I remember it.
I loved these three on commentary. Worked so well.
Not much longer for this world, was it?
No. Don't say that with Brian Ando on the screen.
I know, I was going to say that's very poorly timed.
What match was it you were looking for at lockdown, Ben?
I was just wondering what year it was. I couldn't remember. The Storm Rude, it was the year of the Storm Rude headline.
It was indeed 2012, so Wikipedia tells me.
That was that. If I remember, as I remember, like the storm, the Rude turning on Storm happened like about October, November. So they were building up to this, you know, and it was going to be Storm's crowning moment. And as per usual, TNA did a popcorn fart and just got cold feet and decided, no, we're gonna let it sweat a little bit more. And funnily enough, Storm was never the same after that.
Jeff Hardy went over Kurt Angle on this show.
Ah.
I'm glad I don't remember the bloody hell. Crimson over Matt Morgan. Eric Young and ODB defeated Mexican America.
Rosita and Sarita.
Yeah, there you go.
Look at
Magnus and Samoa Joe. Go over some Motor City Machine Guns.
I am sure either Rosita or Sarita is now the artist currently known as Zelina Vega.
You are correct. Yep, there you are. Rosita, to be precise, the first one I clicked on.
There we go. I'm glad she found
is a
pastures better.
Trainer and producer and in WWE, according to Wikipedia.
And when's Wikipedia ever been wrong?
Exactly.
Undertake with that really weird tattoo.
What about Save All Secret Mission? What about it, JR? I'm watching with closed captions.
As am I, yes. It's...
Oh, hello. Here we are.
Here she is.
This has been left in.
My goodness.
In a disembodied Fred Blassie. Sable versus Howard Finkel. Tim Whiters just need Howard Finkel below the belt. That did actually happen, didn't it?
Was
laser tag even a thing over here? I can't believe I'm saying this while Sable's looking like that on the screen, but yeah.
This just looks like, what was it? What's the film called in The Office? The Michael Scarn video. Oh... Threat Level Midnight. If you've ever watched The American Office and Michael Scott makes his own video, his own film, that's what that looked like there.
Well, you know my opinions on that show.
Floyd Patterson,
you're on camera, Floyd, yeah.
Have either of you ever been there? Oh, here we go.
2 nights before this. I was fucking incensed because I paid for this. Well, my mum paid for this pay-per-view. I was fucking incensed when Michaels went over. And part of me still is about it, 23 years on.
I think now, given that he's a born-again Christian, that Shawn Michaels might even be embarrassed about this now.
You know, and things of that nature, and things of that nature, you know, and things of that nature, of a company standpoint, and things of that nature, in a company standpoint, you know.
Let me tell you something.
First of all, Vin Man, God's green earth. I was just apoplectic when this was going on.
I mean, there's fucking so many, mental. There's so many things wrong with it. You know, you got the human. I mean, you've got the wrestling aspect of like the Hart Foundation don't even come out, but then there's the human aspect, isn't it? You know, his dying sister is literally walking him down to the ring, and he still decides to be a dick.
I remember watching, I think it was Live and Kicking at the time, the week before this, Bulldog says he was going to dedicate the win to his dying sister. And if you say that sort of thing in pro wrestling, you'd better make sure somebody out there is going to allow you to go through with it.
Mean, look at Brett's
look
face.
At Brett's
there.
Face. Fuck
know,
me. Yeah,
knows.
That's it's there. It's there. Oh, look at that prick. I can see where Peter Winston gets it from, you know. And I say that somebody who had Sean as my number two in my GWE list a couple of years ago. If, you know, if you do as I've done and read the torches and the observers around this time, it's stuff about Michaels would make your teeth itch, I tell you. Insufferable little wank stain.
Dearie me.
Just say what you think. Family show.
It's okay. I've put the explicit one on. You can
oh,
see.
Oh, have we got? Are we explicit? Oh, God, good.
Oh, we're explicit. We're explicit AF.
That was one of the. That, I don't know if you've heard it yet. That was one of the funniest things on like the main event live. Like Steve Scott and Nate are trying to have this really like serious chat about WrestleMania, and Jenny just keeps like pestering him and ringing through, and just basically turns the air. Not just blue. Blue, black, red.
That's our girl. We just gotta love her.
It's like it's bro though, because Scott like keeps trying to like get the subject back on track, and she ain't having any of it.
Scott will be happy to know that I have changed my name on here now.
Ah, yes.
So it says Callum and not Douglas.
Did you hear about that controversy, Rory?
I did not.
I'll let Callum explain.
So I woke up and I'm thinking, I'm not going to get back to sleep just now. Popped on the main event, started commenting in the comments, as you do. But it was linked to my email, which is a very old email that I had. No, my username was DougalCMC. So I can see where it's come from. So Nate called me Doug, and Scott called me Douglas. Before Ben knew who it was, so Ben we kept calling me Callum. So I can imagine that how that was very confusing for everyone involved. I can see how, but I can see how it went wrong. So there's no controversy on my part. It was just. One of these things.
Fair, Scott did realise his mistake and apologise, don't you?
I don't need to apologise. It was just, Podbean should apologise on behalf of everyone.
Can I just say as well, I wanted one of these like Rory's War jackets that Vince and JR have got on. I would have paid good money for them.
You may be able to find that on the eBay.
Really?
I don't know, let's have a look. I'm sitting at my computer just now, not necessarily over. 1997. Boys wore jacket. Now you can get a t-shirt from Canada for 20 quid.
But, not the same.
What do you call it? Is it a varsity jacket you call them?
I'm not sure.
You can get a WWF varsity jacket that's got the Attitude Era logo on it for £30.
Oh,
Oh, no. You can get it in black or red.
Black or red?
Black or red. It actually doesn't look too bad if you want to be walking about with a massive WWF logo on your chest and your back.
Not bad there, Callum. Barry Dudinsky would be proud of that shield job.
Oh, Barry.
It would need to be Barry Dudinsky. I don't think I can quite go full Doc Hendricks.
One of those life-size cutouts next to him. Surely nobody bought one of those.
Do you know what I did buy? From Asda one time. Oh, not Asda, Argos. I bought a blow-up rock punch bag that had water. It had water in the bottom. So it was like a... You punched it and it went down and it would just come right back up again. It scared the shit out of me. Because I blew it up and I woke up one night and I've got this fucking 6-foot rock in my bedroom. I shat myself, I'm not even going to lie. So it was in the spare room. Never to be seen or used again.
Actually had one.
He just looks like an arsehole, doesn't he?
Well, I think this is time for...
I suppose that's the point.
Oh dear, he's found the soundboard.
I have.
That's Jenny's fault, alerted you to that.
Literal seconds of entertainment.
Uh oh. Oh god. Behave yourself.
Callum, you know he's still got to prepare himself for King of the Road on Tuesday night.
Exactly. not so sure about that. So we are watching King of the Road.
It's a classic. It's 25 years old, man.
Every bit of it. Douglas. he's really getting the hang of it now.
You know, it's bad when you get the formal name.
Michaels, I do not lay down for anybody. No shit. Looking for a guard in the party, my friend. So closed caption tells. Oh, there's I got news for you. There we are. There it is.
So
he actually finished his promo with it.
I take it you won't be getting Peter Winson on to go through the Heartbreak Hotel.
That's happening one day. That's going to get ugly. Prep your sound clips for that one, whenever it's me and Winston having a...
Uh-oh.
Yeah, exactly.
How did Thursday night go? I've not even asked you that yet. I've been kind of busy.
Well, we recorded for those listening who don't know. After the first
I apologise, yes.
No, it's fine. Brand new show, Place to Be Nation. Should be coming out at some point soon. It's all in the can. It's called Senior Video, in which I and esteemed guests work through as many of the home video classics on the network as we possibly can, including at some point, no doubt, the Sonny one, as she is coming down the aisle.
Oh, here comes Sonny.
We're watching. Here. You're actually on that sound clip, aren't you? Mr. McDougall was my guest for the show we recorded on Thursday, looking at UK Rampage 93, no less. And next week, we are recording episode 2 together. Are we not, Mr. Locke?
We are indeed.
And why don't you tell those listening to us now what we will be breaking down?
We will be breaking down Smack'em Whack'em.
Very much looking forward to that one.
1993. So not only have you got, like, not only have you got, you know, your two Bret Hart matches, but you've also got... was it Berserker versus Tatanka or something? Oh, Typhoon or something like that? It's like, oh, there is literally something on there for everybody.
And as Callum knows, Ben, I break down every match when I do
this. Okay, excellent. You've got to be thorough, man.
All the snowflakes that they're ready for Berserker versus well Typhoon.
Let me have a look.
Typhoon a few days ago.
Oh, yes, we did.
Did we ever?
So while I'm bringing this up, boys, quick question. Sonny or Sable?
Not Sonny, man.
Sonny, yeah.
Good.
Sonny then, Sable now. I think it goes without saying.
That's default, really, isn't it? Sable barely even needed to turn up for that one.
I take it, or do I take it? Do either of you listen to OSW review?
No.
On occasion?
Yeah. Have you listened to their one, their episode reviewing Sunny Side Up?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Boys, you have got to do this. They go in depth, they do it hold for hold. And then you've got the infamous. Are you aware of what happens at one point? Are you aware of the mishap that happens during the?
Sorry, guys, that's me. Sorry.
During the filming.
Not offhand.
So basically, at one part, without beating around the bush, she farts. So they go in depth about that part. It is. I listened to it one time on the way to work. I almost crashed the car. It is brilliant. That's also got a really good. But I can't remember what episode of something to wrestle with. They go through that in depth as well. Wonderful stuff.
So for the ladies and gentlemen who want to watch that Smack and Whack, here we go. So we have got Crush versus the Berserker. Earthquake versus Repo Man, Brett versus Shawn in a ladder match, Kamala versus Brett, Brett versus Ric Flair, and Undertaker Razor Ramon. That's a good set.
So fire it up on the network over the next few days, listeners, and then hear Ben and I at some point break it.
Yes, literally something for everyone on that show.
I think so. I've never seen that show in its entirety, so I'm looking forward to watching it in the next few days.
Even Yokozuna cooking for the single man.
Who
doesn't need that? Yeah, who doesn't need that in life?
Especially
I've never
right
seen
now.
That, but is it not meant to be absolutely hilarious?
I think it is a plus sort of Fuji Vice levels, yes.
Oh, ace. I think that might well be our best segment award winner.
Yeah, you have to tell me like what all the awards are so I can get ready.
Don't you worry, you'll be well prepped, Benjamin.
Okay, that's right. I expect nothing less.
That's how I do it. And I should say, for those listening to us live now who haven't heard our most recent standard show, it is now available, is it not?
Yes.
Went out last night?
Yes,
it certainly is.
Episode number 5.
I don't know if you should apologise for the football references or not, because it kind of makes it, but...
Kevin Pressman apologises for No Man.
Basically, when we listen to Greetings from Allentown and Peter goes on about ice hockey, that's what you guys are going to be like listening to this. So we don't get the ice hockey references, but we still listen.
It's payback time.
Larry Lloyd says so.
Larry Lloyd. Oh my God, what was I thinking? It's true, though. I still think the comparison stands.
Did you not whip out like Johan Neeskens as well, or Johnny Rep?
Johan Neeskens got in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Keegan and Toshak, they're all in there. Hey, you brought Jimmy Bullard into it. Come on.
and you were the man who went with your Cena James Milner comparison.
Yeah, and we've also seen Ken Shamrock, who is the big dunk of the WWF.
Including internal injuries. Oh, here comes Ahmed.
Speaking of injuries again.
With the hand wrapped up.
Poor soccer.
Fair play, he's still swinging it. He's still going for it.
He's gone. You can tell. He's done. Oh, dear. I did love this incarnation of the Nation, though.
Yeah.
If it was just pitched right on the line without going over it. And Farouk's promos were excellent at this point too. Genuinely excellent.
Look at all these suits and refs running down.
Don't worry about Paul Bearer's blackmail. Worry about this blackmail. That's great stuff. The only great thing about that King of the Ring 97 main event, of course, but...
Was that main event always going to be Farouk, or was, am I right in saying it was going to be Ahmed Johnson at one point?
You are correct, Mr. Uh-huh. McDougall.
No, that was wasn't that the month after, wasn't it? The Canadian Stampede.
Was it? Oh, because it ended up being Vader, didn't it?
Yeah.
No, it was. Wasn't it both?
No, because
both Ahmed, sound right to me.
Because Ahmed's in the King of the Ring tournament.
97. Oh, he loses to Helmsley in a long match. Yeah, right. Okay. Something else I must have blanked out. Yeah, it's Canadian Stampede. You're quite right.
Which, if we ever do a GWWE show, that will be high up there. Canadian Stampede.
Oh, with ease.
Surely.
You'd have to think so.
Something's gone wrong if it hasn't.
Have either of you ever been to Madison Square Garden before?
Oh no, I only wish I had.
No.
I've never been to New York.
I went once and I went to buy overpaid tickets from let's say an unofficial outlet inside Madison Square Garden. I paid about three times the price for ice hockey right up the back, and it was the best thing I've ever done.
Oh wow.
So I was an ice hockey convert that night, but just to be in Madison Square Garden, that was fantastic. 10 out of 10, would go again.
There he is, double Slammy Award winning, of course.
Ah, God, love that man.
Ode316 says, I just broke your mic.
She'll have been on some nights out dressed like that.
In New York. Yeah, the Pillman XXX files. Oh, hello. it's just mildly distracted.
You can see what she had for dinner.
On her day, Terry was dynamite as well.
Okay. Oh, hello.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Is the cool. I mean, obviously, watching this as a callow 15-year-old, I don't need to continue that sentence, so I will begin another one. Obviously, I had no idea that the fact that Pillman and Terry had been a thing in 1990. And when you know that, and talk about adding an extra layer to this stuff, you know? This is a fucking hilarious promo here from Pillman.
It's just how seriously he does it.
We're 2 weeks away from losing him at this point. Yeah.
No.
Oh, he's breaking out the God's green earth. That's okay. He's allowed.
I know he just stands next to him and agrees. Drat! Oh, okay.
While Dustin was reading to Dakota Three Little Pigs, he had his wife squealing like a pig.
Yeah, he did.
And because of that, he broke us up. I love the detail where he actually did it in the bath as well.
Owen checking on the arm as well.
Just glorious. I've missed these two so much. Look, Owen shrugged it.
here comes the Chen.
To ruin it. Pullman talking about poise, dignity, and grace. Oh, fucking hell, that man was incredible.
And here comes the picture of poise, dignity, and grace.
You rang?
Well, that's a data protection breach asking for his x-rays.
As well, say GDPR and have a field day. You know?
22 years ahead of the game here. You know, he's holding Terry by the neck. That's a nice simple trope there. He catches it with his broken arm. I'm a stickler for that sort of thing.
Yeah, you don't need to overcomplicate it.
Keep it simple and develop from there. That's all you need. That's just lovely stuff.
It's not rocket science.
Doesn't need to be. Lovely stuff.
Is this the match that they just completely take the piss for a couple of minutes and then basically do nothing?
One of JT's favourites, this one, and with good reason.
Don't argue
slower,
boys.
I can't fight a guy with a broken arm.
I want to see, if he wants to see Brian Pillman's x-rays, I want to see Sergeant Slaughter's credentials as a medical professional. Who's he to say that he's not got a broken arm? Okay, that probably is a giveaway that he's pulling the ropes, but, you know.
His career choice is in his title.
Exactly. I love JR playing it straight. I was born in the day, he was trained in the Hart family dungeon. And these two are just, like, just enjoying themselves. They're just having a piss take of a match. And JR's playing it straight, going, oh, he was an offensive lineman in the National Football League for the Cincinnati Bengals.
You've got to love the two dastardly snivelling heels just playing it totally straight.
Look at that. Clean break in the corner. That's sportsmanship to the T there. Look at that.
Hello? Oh. You there? Oh. Ah, the wife's back.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Hammerlock into the snapmare and a cover. Oh, so close.
It's chain wrestling at its best.
It is. It actually is. We reset and let's go again.
Yeah, that's it. There we go. Nice headlock. Yeah, float over.
Right into the hammerlock. And there's Owen's own snapmare. And he's going to go for the cover. Going to go on two and he got him. No, he didn't.
We don't need this break. Oh, is this fight? Well, no, it wasn't the final four set, was it?
Limited edition trading cards.
From Stridex.
Of course. Sponsors du jour at this point. Look at the pay-per-view calendar, apparently. Because you want one of those in the middle of September.
Yeah, printed many months before because Sid is still there. During the break.
Now we're back. I think this is where things just start to break down, unfortunately. Yeah, the loaded person. Oh, no, here we go.
Don't need that. Good sportsmanlike match. Good sportsmanlike contest just gets ruined by a woman.
Make it a proper match, boys. Come on. I genuinely was enjoying that.
Yeah, that bit should have been on camera. To be fair, like I know it was, but you know what I mean. Do it live, I mean.
Especially as nobody dived through the ropes. Raw rolling on.
Oh, I think he's. Oh no!
Is he back?
I think he's. I think the shocking is getting put away though. I can hear that. I can hear bags getting.
He has been. Now, regardless of, we're watching Raw from September the 22nd, 1997, and he still has to put the shopping away. Did he not explain beforehand what we were watching here? Let the ice cream melt.
To be fair, if it was one of the important bits, I would have. I think we would have paused it. But I think we're okay at the minute.
We're fine at the minute. We're getting something, a reasonable degree of importance that some of our listeners might just, in the darkest recesses of their mind, might possibly be able to recall.
Yeah,
if
yeah,
the stars were aligned. So hurry back, please, Callum.
What are we on? 41. No, we're right. We've got 50 minutes left. Yeah. This is the thing about this era, isn't it? It just flies by.
Yeah. Here's Goldie. I'm
do you know, you're 41 minutes in. You've had three matches and an interview segment. Yeah.
We'll just keep an eye on. I mean, these Raws were just like lightning, weren't they?
Yeah.
And even watching them at the time with the break, so it was 2 hours just shot by. You're back with us.
I am. Yes, I had to let the good lady in from the shops.
He's put the shopping away.
Did she get everything that was needed?
As far as I'm aware, but I'm not going to tell her that she hasn't.
And a pack of Pringles as well, because you know everybody puts one of them in.
Ops. So Owen's celebrating his DQ victory because Goldust attacked him first. It's the little things. Just look how well this is shot right here. Shooting Owen from just from the shoulders up, basically. Suck up promo.
Oh, no.
Because it's Austin just out of nowhere, to coin a phrase. It's brilliantly done. Don't see him until the very last millisecond. That's some proper directing. And you don't need some gormless getting the crowd gawping at it either. Wait a minute, what's this?
What's he doing?
He's here to advertise that jacket, I think. What's the matter with you?
One of the lesser known Austin shirts being worn, of course.
I like that one. Just give me a minute. I've just seen this so many times, but never tire of it. The Vince calm down face.
You need to work within the system, Steve.
Austin's facial expressions are perfect. But don't break the law.
Look, I mean, as well, just look at the crowd as well. There's literally not anybody sitting down.
They know like, something's noticed that, by the way.
Yeah, they know something's coming.
Would you have seen this live or on the Friday for us at the time, Ben?
I think I saw it on the Friday. I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah, because I was... Yeah, well, how old would I have been? I'd have been 16 at this point. So yeah, I'd have if I didn't see it on the Friday, I'd have recorded it and watched it that weekend.
Oh, rebellious 15-year-old, I stayed up on the Friday night to watch it between 10 and 12.
Well, I can't remember. My dad was proper naughty / illegal, however you want to do it. He was actually able to get it, so we could wire the satellite dish into everybody's room.
Splitter in 97.
Yeah, honestly, when he bestowed that on me, I was like, "What? This is." It's like so I can watch anything I want. So as long as it's on downstairs, whatever channel, you can watch it up here. I was like, "Yeah, game changer. That's it."
He's dropping the bomb here. What did you think of them? Even then, Austin's still looking at the watch. It's fantastic. What did you think of them, the Vince? It had obviously been very heavily hinted at a few months before, but this is where, I think this is really where, yeah, Vince is the owner of the company, came in.
Yeah.
And this was the time to do it.
If you're gonna do it in any building, this was the one.
I mean, I know they did it with the Brett hockey fight stuff a couple of months ago and things like that, and Brett obviously shoving him down just before Mania 13. But here, they had to make it clear here.
Yeah, it was that whole thing of you knew but you didn't know. You know, the curtain hadn't been peeled back that far. It'd been peeled back a bit, but not far enough.
And here, you had to know, because Austin's, this is his fourth attack. You know, he's done Slaughter, Lawler, and various other, where else do you go after that? You go straight to the owner, don't you? Well, who's the owner?
It's JR a couple of weeks before at Ground Zero as well.
Yeah, because it was basically like a trail of destruction leading up to Vince, wasn't it? Like, what a week or what a show.
And the thing I love about it so much is, I'm going to try and stop myself going on another fan rant here, because most of the people who say this are quite well-intentioned for a change. When people look back on Austin now and says, oh, he was a face, but he did heelish things. It was just a heel, but he got cheered and all of that. Not quite true. This iteration of Steve Austin, anyway, is a sympathetic character. He's attacking people like JR and King, whatever, because he's lashing out. He's injured and he can't do anything about it. His only outlet is to attack people.
I mean, when people try and simplify it to the everyman character, you know, we you know, there's so many layers to that. It's not just simple. Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
I'll shut up a sec.
Bang! Go on, Vince. Rigor mortis. Look at that.
And I have no problem with the dodgy selling of the stunner either. No problem.
I do. I've got to say.
Oh, okay. You do.
Vince taking Stone Cold Stunner far too literally there. It means you like electrocuted, pal.
But yeah, go back to what I was saying. So, you know, that whole everyone said, oh, it's the everyman against his boss. But that is such a layered character. The best time, we all work in an environment probably where we're not the boss of our company or where we work. So you do go through frustrations. You do go through situations like this. You can't stun your boss, obviously. But, you know, just to say it's just a simple boss versus worker thing. No, there's so many more layers to that than just that one distilling of that storyline.
Austin, you can empathize with him and you can sympathize with him. It's a sympathetic babyface. Oh,
absolutely.
Go to my grave saying that. What do you reckon, McDougal? Reckon it still stands up, this one? Doesn't lose it. Hasn't lost any of its power, has it?
No. No, not at all.
Look at that crowd reaction as well.
I mean, they've tried to replicate this so many times over the last 23 years and just they've never come close.
There was one time that they did a really good job, and it was the night that Roman Reigns like destroyed Triple H and the Authority. And for one night, they managed to get people to cheer Roman Reigns.
And end of 2015.
Back in those heady days.
Yeah, and then
the TLC 2015, they beat him up, yeah.
Mm. And then he won, was it the next night he won the title? And they cheered him. Yeah. And they cheered him.
In Philadelphia, no less.
Yeah, was it the Royal Rumble of that year, they booed him out of the building in the same place. And the week after that, ruined it.
Just no need to be in that Rumble in 2016. 1-30, just no need. Especially when he sods off to take a nap midway through.
The classic Raw is War open here.
I love it. See, Ahmed getting in on the open there.
There was a bit of flash funk as well.
Randomly.
The war zone, as they cleverly called the second hour. Crafty bastards.
I mean,
we are racing through this show. 50 minutes in, we're racing through it.
I know.
To have the cojones as well to do that segment at the bottom of the first hour, you know.
Right.
You wouldn't have that nowadays. No, you know.
So half the show to go and they're going to peak again before too long.
Yeah.
They have those two in their locker. And let's face it, the supporting features aren't half bad either. Maybe Madison Square Garden truly is holy ground after all. There's Lenny, or Faith No More guy, as some people call him, in the front row. Mellow.
Where's she come from?
Speaking of front row, am I right?
I quite like the fact they left the chair empty there. That's very clever.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't think it's a coincidence that she's standing right behind Jerry the King Lawler.
Something was done during the break to... Oh, here we go. Hello, Rusty. Well, one of our cats has just... This is the... Yeah, what are you doing, Rusty? Okay, he's just got jumped onto the windowsill. What a pinch his open mouth there. God, it's just... It's just so alive.
There's the cops like... The cops like, should we go? Oh, yeah, okay.
Richard's shaking. I can watch that over and over. 23 years from now, that's still going to be hot. Tears out of your screen, it really does. I love Lorna's indignation right here. Sticking up a Vince for the first time ever.
Just give the bad mouth to the cops as well. Doesn't give a shit about that.
A guy with a sign there, PlayStation 4 life.
Hey, you got PlayStation itself have been around for like 2 years at this point. Oh, here we go.
So at this point, I think Callum should take the lead because seeing as he picked this match.
I agree.
This was on the famous Shawn Michaels from the... I'm sorry, Force of Habit.
Force of Habit, yeah. All right. There's your one for the night.
The first time I saw this match was on the Mick Foley DVD, which in itself is excellent. But almost as good as the match itself is the build-up that we're just going to see.
Sorry, Callum, here we go.
Oh, it's okay.
Here's the woman. I've got the sound turned down. Who actually is she?
I have no idea. The subtitle said, this is indistinct.
Go on, Cam. Sorry, I'll cut you off. Go.
No, sorry.
Is that what she said?
Nope. Who's that guy in the cap trying to sneak in on camera there?
There's a guy that looks like Dr. Death.
Ronda Shear.
Ah!
She not of WrestleMania 10?
Totally very different 3 years on. Because my knowledge of Ronda Shear begins and ends with WrestleMania 10, as I'm sure it's the same for you two chaps. But
speaking of looking,
save your calls and letters, everybody. We didn't recognise 1997 Ronda Shear.
There's China.
Also looking completely different as she would in 3 years' time.
Mm-hmm. Slightly less enhanced.
Let's just pause talking for a sec for the promo.
Oh, here we go. This is better than the actual match.
I'm just gushing through this show, and no apologies for that.
Especially your finer China.
Finer China? What's he called? My main umpire or something like that. It's just...
we did do, on the all-nighter last night, we did do Fuck, Marry, Kill on the members of Evolution, and that went into Fuck, Marry, Kill on the Three Faces of Foley, and Tim and Jenny managed to give answers.
Are we supposed to be surprised by that?
Well,
I'm really not.
It weren't surprising to hear that everyone wanted to kill Dude Love.
Oh, no, I'm not. Sorry. My main mandible umpire. Maybe, you're too slow.
That is excellent.
That's phenomenal.
And also for 1997, very impressive.
Beat me to it. It ain't bad, is it? It ain't bad. The old screen wipe there. Three-way, of course. It's spoiler alert. Looks very, very convincing indeed. Must have taken ages to fucking film this.
I think after nearly 23 years, we're all right with spoilers on this.
Nobody's watching this. I hope nobody's watching this for the first time. It's one of those shows you have to, regardless of when you became a fan or what type of fan you are, this Raw is required viewing. It's curriculum.
Absolutely.
Stuff. Another part that both Mankind and Dude still keep talking even now when Cactus arrives. This is impeccable.
Mrs. Foley's baby boy is coming
home. Darkest day of your life.
if you ever watch the Foley DVD, he is, he says he's eternally grateful for Triple H just now, and the reaction he has. He puts Cactus Jack over as being a really, really dangerous. Just look at him. Like he's crap himself.
January 2. That's how you do it.
Oh, it's...
Would the trick have been repeated more often?
No shaky fingers. No, no
exactly.
Fingers.
For all of his flaws, and there are many, he does get it, doesn't he?
You got to love the fact he empties the rubbish on him as well.
Yeah, talk us through this one. Calamus was a top 100 for you.
Oh, it was. It's just, I do love a match with Plunder. It was one of these ones. It's not a 5-star match in the slightest, but it's one of these ones. It's a close to a 5-star package from start to finish, the whole thing. And the fact it is where it is as well. I think that adds something to it as well. If they did it in the Manhattan Center or the Mid Hudson Civic Center, it might not have had the same impact.
Yeah, it's Emma shooting in front of that fan base. I mean, Cactus, obviously, we've got the sound. And when he comes through, it's not even, you couldn't even call it a cheer. It's practically a celebration when he comes down to ringside. It's lightning in a bottle stuff.
And again, it was very WWF as well, because it's not, Cactus Jack is Mick Foley himself. It's nothing that they've ever created, and they've just gone for it.
I mean, I know we're going about it a lot, but look at the crowd again. They're only just sitting down now, like 2 minutes after.
Oh, they're all back up again.
Yeah, Hunter's like, I need to go.
So what's everyone's favourite face of Foley? I'm partial to Cactus Jack myself.
I would go Cactus Jack. Are we counting overall like the whole like career or?
I'm still early Mankind myself. It might be because that's when I first started watching, just as Mankind made his debut. Obviously, where they are now on the North South, working through the Wrestling War Zone, those early Mankind promos in February and March.
Exemplary
stuff, so far ahead of the time. You look back at it now and think, yeah, why didn't they just let him be Cactus Jack? And of course, Foley himself asked that question at the time, but I think everybody did okay out of it in the end. It's not as if he ever ended up being Mason the Mutilator, after all.
Was the other one the Mad Crimmer?
Mad Crimmer, yeah, that's on the documentary. I have pressed pause. January the 5th, 1996 is the memo. All the other list of names that are suggested. Mad Crim is one of them. Eric Eargon is another one. Eric fucking Eargon. Creative genius, I tell you, that man. Down comes the barricade. In more ways than one.
There you go. Pick it up.
Just about to hit the hour mark on this program. Oh, there's the Helmsley bump.
An EC dub
right
chant.
On the hour mark now.
An EC dub chant, which isn't an insult like it was at King of the Ring 1995.
Listen to this. It cracks me up when you get so sad.
The fans were behind Savio Vega. No, they fucking not.
Fucking just clueless.
Savio Vega with his simply unbelievable route to the final. Yeah, that's because it's not fucking believable, Vince.
King of the Ring 95. Imagine Ben, imagine anybody making a case for that pay per view.
Well, you know.
Never mind.
I stand by it. It's not bad because of what it was. It was bad because of what it could have been.
It was bad because of what it could have been.
It was bad because of both.
You could call it the worst ever if it had guys like Sean winning the King of the Ring and Owen and Davey and Razor. But it didn't. No, it was just... I don't know.
It was shite.
It was. I don't mind tournaments, so I'll watch it again.
The tournament bias.
It's tournament bias, but I don't know. It's not my go-to if I was to watch all the King of the Rings.
That's mildly relieving anyway.
If I was to watch all the King of the Rings, it probably would be last or second last.
So you're not going to throw it on as soon as we're done here? Commentary.
I'll say that. It's been a while since I've seen it.
No.
Got to do something for these cold nights.
My issue
with it is, right, so I haven't got a massive problem with Mabel winning the tournament. What I've got a problem with is, like I say, Mabel winning the tournament and facing Savio Vega when he could have faced, you know, he could have had Michaels go all the way to the final, you know, or Taker or whatever. You know, it's just the way they book it with the shite matches. It just, oh.
Michaels could make that story mean something.
Yeah.
Savio Vega sure as hell
could have done the Vega four matches in one night thing with Michaels quite easily.
Sunset flip down to the concrete. Yes.
The thing about it was it was more outright boring than it was bad.
Mm.
And it was like what was it? What was the one that was it the In Your House in December? What was the one that Vince said, oh, completely horrible? No, it was October, because that's when he finished with Diesel.
Yeah, when he Diesel Bulldog.
Yeah, I mean, that show's downright horrible. It's not boring, it's rubbish.
I mean, they've done it a couple of times with King of the Ring. That King of the Ring 2000, where it could have been, you know, Benoit, Eddie, Jericho and Angle in the final four. But no, we've got to push... Bob Buchanan and Crash Holly. That needs to happen.
But I was thinking about that the other day. That tournament started with 32 people in it. And there were 32... Like, what? Yeah, and it was 32 guys who you would think had a reasonable chance. Because, say what you will about Crash, Crash was over.
Oh, yeah.
Crash was popular. Bill Buchanan less so. I do get your point there.
And the actual crazy thing now is if you think about the inflated rosters now, they could do a 32-man tournament, especially if they want to carry on, you know, with these empty arena shows.
Mm.
I would watch it. See if they did, I don't know how you would do it, like the World Cup, like they did in Saudi. Do that. 32 guys, have a couple of matches a show. You could film 2-3 months straight away.
Into the head. And then Shane wins you.
Oh.
Yeah, Shane wins at the end.
Yeah.
How was he just creaming him with the bin there?
I mean, it's easy programming as well, isn't it? So it's like you say, you and the person who wins the whole thing gets the title shot at SummerSlam because... You know, I know we're all optimistically hoping everything's okay by August, but...
Snow shovel. Because, of course, they're 10 a penny and, you know, easy to find in September. Just knocking around just in case, you know. Maybe the one question mark against the booking of this match.
Do you know what? Take me back to the days where people would stockpile snow shovels.
He's Mr. Plough. That's his name.
That mate.
Oh, Ben,
name again
is
Mr. Plough.
I'm going to need to add that to the list of Simpsons episodes. What was the one I watched? Oh, Behind the Laughter. I watched that the other day.
Oh wow. That's
excellent.
Industrial strength table.
Yeah, the wallpaper pasting table.
It is. That table looks like a monster, doesn't it? That's thick set, that one. That's not a crumple on impact table.
No, that's a your head's going through this whether you like it or not.
I've got this image though of like Foley having to like them having to test if Foley can stand on the table.
Look, it's creaking under the weight.
It's
that. Yeah. Wait. That's all you need though.
Oh Jesus.
That's the finish. That's all you need.
That has to be
China can't get there in time. Oh, yeah, this is excellent.
Yeah, still good.
As good as you're going to get for this sort of match on TV, coupled with the Cactus Jacket MSG ism-ness. It's adds up to like, something very
it's
special.
Like Callum, it's like Callum says, it's the whole package, isn't it? It's the good match with the intangibles around it.
Great visual there. The order's fucking dead by the table.
But you have
again,
the
brilliantly shot.
Yeah. Bang bang. Probably but you have the thing, they have the you have the whole story arc for these guys as well. You have them at King of the Ring and Foley's the sympathetic babyface and Hunter takes it away from him. You then have their wild like arena wide show long brawl at Canadian Stampede, the cage match, and then that's just to finish it all off. Absolutely. Lovely stuff.
And the one night only match 2 days before.
That was a good match.
If we need to mention that. It was a good match, actually, against Dude Love.
Doing a
Homer on the ground celebration there. That was quite a 20 minutes, was it not?
That was... Some very 90s hair and jocks going on here.
Adam and Joe, those cunts were called, is it?
Superstar Supper.
He's a better couple.
We're about to WrestleMania 1 now.
This is all very nostalgic for 1997, is it not?
Mm. I suppose you've got to do it in MSG, but it's still a good few years before they really push the nostalgia button, isn't it? And I suppose that was after 01, really.
Oh, was it?
They've got to do it here.
What was it? Was it on the live? Was it on the live main event? Or somebody was talking about the My Sacrifice and the Lonely Road of Faith DVDs, videos. I fired all them up on YouTube the other day because I had nothing else to do. Well, I had loads of work to do, but I couldn't be bothered. if I'm going to be very honest, that first My Sacrifice video from Survivor Series 01, it still gives me goosebumps. I think that's one of the best they've done. Other than I don't think Sean's with us anymore, but the Mania 17 My Way package.
I think that's the gold standard. That's always the one that springs to mind. Intact on the network too. The rest of Mania 17, I'm pleased to say.
I remember going to, this might be a blast of the past as well. I went to Our Price.
Did you pop into Virgin Megastore after?
No, we didn't have a Virgin Megastore. The closest one was Glasgow, but in my wee town, there was an Our Price. It was tiny. I mean, I think the dining room that I'm sitting in just now, dining room / home office, was bigger than this Our Price. I remember going up to the guy, and he ordered me in. It wasn't in the charts, you'll be shocked to hear, but I asked him to order in Limp Bizkit My Way. And I went, took him 2 weeks to get it in, and I got it. I went back and picked it up, and I played the hell out of that.
I love that. I love that song. I don't care how uncool that makes me sound.
Check out the melody. Check out the melody.
You think I'm special?
Oh,
no comment.
Don't. you'll get me all, after a couple of beers, you'll get me all teary-eyed thinking about that.
Don't show this again.
I was about to say, we've got Rory all calmed down at the minute. We don't need this again.
This taking place in my hometown. My hometown, this travesty took place, everybody. Birmingham, England.
So, gents, have you ever been to the NEC Arena in Birmingham?
Many times.
I have, but not for wrestling.
I've passed it on the train. I've never been.
I was there for a wrestling event. I saw the SmackDown... Look at Brett's face there. Cutting through the screen. The SmackDown house show in May 2017. Main evented by a triple threat match. AJ... Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal.
I've not been in a wrestling show for 5 years.
Here he is again.
Like, the last time I went was an NXT house show in Nottingham. And it was in 2015. And I was sat next to her. I'm convinced it was the only man on Earth at that point who liked NXT who didn't like Bayley. He was sat next to me. I was like, and I had the hug, you know, the hug T-shirt on. I was like, what?
did she was that the tour that she faced? Was it right before TakeOver London?
Yeah,
I went to that tour. They had one in Glasgow, and it was Sammy's comeback tour.
Yes. Yeah. So it was headlined. It was headlined by Sammy, Baron Corbin and Finn Balor.
Oh, we had Baron Corbin against. Well, what is it? Was it? Who did we have? Baron Corbin. We had Baron Corbin against Apollo Crews. We had Sammy. We had Sammy and Finn 1-on-1.
And then that the women's match was just a tag match. I can't remember. I think it might have been something like Bayley and Emma and Dana versus Oscar and Bayley. Something like that.
Oh, yes, possibly. No, I think we had a Bayley singles match as well. We had Bayley against Emma. We had Asuka in a singles match as well.
And then what was
it? Was a great show.
The worst show that I've been. I say worst. I loved it. It was that Raw 03, June 03, when it was absolutely terrible, but. I honestly didn't care because obviously they don't come over here that often, or they didn't at that point. You know, I was all in on Booker T at that stage, so I had to have the T-shirt. I was like a full on Booker T fanboy at that time.
I remember I went on a tour. I went to Manchester for one. I went to the MEN for a show, in September or October. It was the pre or post Survivor Series tour they had, and it was main evented by Brock and John Cena against Kurt Angle and The Undertaker.
That was a tasty show. That's a decent house show main event.
I went to a SmackDown TV taping in 04 and got Luther Reigns versus Eddie.
And that was high up on your GWW list.
The televised. Sean is gay. Sean is not gay. Why don't you go and ask your mama if Sean is gay? Well, that's not a no, is it?
This isn't the one that it absolutely, like, kills brain cells with the chair show, is it? Have I just given it away?
That's a few weeks before this.
Oh, that's all right then.
That's the Raw after. The Raw after.
Ground Zero.
It's the one after that.
Right.
Because he turns heel, then the week after it's a match against Mankind. And I think he belts Undertaker the chair the week after.
Uh-oh.
Helmsley helpfully bandaged here. Here, I will give him grudging credit, but credit nevertheless for coming back out after what he had to endure not too long ago.
Here's Rick.
Rick Rude. God. The rights and wrongs of the wrestling business. such a weird one, but this is the first I ever saw of Rick Rude because I'd started watching wrestling the year before. I hadn't really jumped backwards really far beyond Survivor Series 93, much earlier than that. But this is the first I ever really saw of Rick Rude. And I had no idea who he was, just his businessman type in a suit.
Well, 92,
he might as well have just been that for his link with TX, to be honest.
92, 93, we did have Worldwide on ITV, so I had known who he was at that point.
Well, I'd like heard of him and stuff, but I'd never seen him in action.
There you go. This shows you how the WWF were coming back to their peak where they're getting stuff sponsored by PlayStation.
Who were WCW's main sponsors at this point, 97?
Slim Jim, wasn't it?
Slim Jim. Well, Slim Jim's Halloween Havoc was just around the corner, I suppose. That show is demented, Halloween Havoc 97.
Slim Jim's Halloween Havoc. Dig it!
Talk about
the only thing I can do that's anywhere close to being a Randy Savage impression.
Thinking.
Like I sound more like Elizabeth doing it when he proposes.
Elizabeth.
Will you marry me?
You think you'd know a fucking name, wouldn't you?
It's not like they were married or anything.
Brett's first appearance on the show. We've got 15 minutes. Of course, this was the show where backstage Vince told him that maybe that 20-year contract... kind of possibly having second thoughts about it. I'm sure it will all be ironed out before too long anyway.
I'm sure.
Yeah, they'll sort things out. They're gentlemen.
Yeah.
They'll come up with something.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he's going to get kicked in the head by Stone Cold Steve Austin. There's your alternative. Your sliding doors moment. He gets kicked in the head by Austin in December of 1999.
How different things might have been, eh? Maybe for the better. New York City, you know it. Gets cheered for that as well, by the way. New York, innit? No complaints from me on that score.
Yeah, he is looking particularly pissed off tonight, isn't he?
Yeah, I can't for the life of me think why.
Undertaker, I could face you at Survivor Series, or I could face that cunt star, Shawn Michaels.
Get right, at the Survivor Series.
At the Survivor Series!
Things, the Survivor Series kind of works grammatically, kind of, as does the Royal Rumble. The SummerSlam, the WrestleMania, less so.
The WCW is just wrong.
The WCW!
At the Super Brawl!
The Super Brawl. Brett the Goldust in-ring main event here. I remember this one being pretty solid.
This is a main event anywhere in the country. Not taking the mick in any way.
I reckon they could have done something pretty nifty on pay-per-view, given the chance.
Yeah, give them in your house.
They had their match on Raw back in January 96. I reckon pay-per-view, 15 minutes. If Dustin's motivated enough, I reckon they could have had a good one.
Absolutely. And as you know, I've come to appreciate how good Dustin Rhodes is recently. But ever since his match with Orton in 13.
Look at that commitment to character. He's even put the spray on his head, on half his head.
This is the slightly more tasteful kind of half face painting than what we saw from somebody else 7 years beforehand.
I went to a Roddy Piper speaking show in Glasgow.
Oh wow!
It was in a nightclub.
Wow.
Yeah, but obviously they'd rented out. It's where ICW hold their shows now, so it's in. But they did it, and he comes out, and he talks about him doing the half and half face, and apparently he says he pitches it to Vince, and he just goes, and Vince just looks back at him and goes, "I love you." As if it's the best idea ever, but somebody had mixed his paint with something.
Was it Andre? Is the story?
Yeah,
guy.
I think so. Andre.
Yeah, so he had to walk about for a week going through airports, going to see people at customs, because obviously it was in Toronto, so they had to go through a long customs queue with this on. And Gavin, he'd have a a British passport, because he's Scottish, obviously. He would have to wait at customs everywhere he went, and he said the looks he got. But it was Andre, so you couldn't actually do anything.
I put this in your pen, boss.
But that
actual
was
audio footage right there. I managed to get away.
That was a night. They did a meet and greet, and I went up to him, and I'm staring at him. And I'm like awestruck by this guy, obviously.
Did you go, you're Roddy Piper?
No, I didn't say anything. I was just like, like heavily breathing. And he's looking at me going, I hand him over the classic Hot Rod t-shirt for him to sign. And he's going, can you stretch it out for me? And I'm looking at him nodding. He goes, can you stretch it out for me? And I know that he's talking to me, but I can't understand the word he's saying. And he's like, so he takes my hands and stretches it out for him. I was like, oh my God.
He's just touched me.
I was just like, I'm so sorry. But he got a thingy. I got a picture with him, and he put his arm around me and started squeezing the back of my neck so hard that it was like, I thought he was trying to choke me. But oh, it was brilliant.
When was that?
It was about a year before he died. I think it was about 2012, 2013.
2015,
wow.
He died, yeah.
Yeah, so it was about 2014.
Wow.
I'll try and look out the picture.
Yeah, please do.
It's a very, I'm very young and a very less heavy.
Lesser suit. I'm boring. I've never met anybody wrestling related. I've not even done a convention.
Inside, Roddy Piper was one of the first inside the ropes ones, and they've just. So I saw. I mean, I had a meet and greet with JR that involved me getting in early, no, staying late to get an autograph and a picture, and an hour and a half with JR for £25. Roddy Piper was 35. The year later, they were doing guys like Goldberg and Bad News Barrett for 70. Oh, like they've just, and then the Undertaker this year was £350.
Really?
Yeah. Because we were going to get it for my pal because he's a massive Undertaker fan. And we said we'll go for a meet and greet, get it as part of his birthday, and then it got downgraded from meet and greet to just going to see it, and even going to see it was a £70 ticket. They've taken the piss with it now.
I've seen that picture Jenny's put up before of her and I think three or four of her friends with Catherine Tate, and I'm like, how much is Catherine Tate charging?
But see, if you were to go to a WrestleCon or something like that, you're paying to get in, and then you might pay £20 for a ticket, £20 for a picture, but then at least you can choose who you go and see and who you get a ticket.
I don't begrudge paying extra for a ticket, or paying extra for the photo, I should say, but £350. No.
350, like we were going, oh, that's a must get, that was a must meet and greet. And then we were so taken aback by the price that we were wanting that we weren't actually going to go until we decided to buy my pal a ticket for his birthday.
I mean, would it be one of those things like, say, if a group of you wanted the photo, would it be £350 for the photo of you all, or £350 each?
£350 each. You'd pay to get the meet and greet opportunity.
No.
So if the three of us went, it would be £350 each, we've just decided to get a group picture of one.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, I know.
We're not doing that. we go to the show, but we're not paying that much.
Like Cody came for the and we're looking at that one because he just won the NWA title at that point.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, that might be quite cool because I remember I went to Ring of Honor show and Cody was there. He was still the champion, and everybody was there throwing the belt on their shoulder. So like, that'd be quite cool getting Sweet Charlotte, Nick Aldis calls it. Getting that flung over your shoulder. Right, that would be pretty cool. Again, £50 for a ticket, £70 for a meet and greet. If you wanted a picture with Brandy, that was an extra £15. If you wanted a picture with the two of them, man.
I bet it was.
I'm like, how can you look at this person straight in the eye and just go, I don't think you're worth the £15 to get in my picture. I would recommend it if there was reasonably priced ones, but they're inside the ropes, maybe not the way to go now.
Hopefully at the end of the year we'll have that option with AEW. They're definitely coming over when we're out of all this shit.
Yeah, that'll be good. Was there not a rumor that we're going to do a pay per view at the Royal Albert Hall?
I don't know about that. I know they said about TV that's going to be happening.
Oh, that would be dynamite if we could go there.
Hey,
there we go.
Rory won't like it though, because like if he thinks NXT's flippy shit, good lord.
I've not watched All Elite since episode 2 because ITV are just ridiculous for their they'll promise it at 7 o'clock and like they promised it for 7 o'clock on a Friday and sometimes it's getting like 11
ITV, half 12 ITV.
You've got the right idea, Ben, just doing everything on a one or on the Friday or the Saturday.
I kind of binge watch it. So if I watch it, I sort of do 3 or 4 over the course of a couple of days.
I haven't watched any since the first edition of Dynamite, I must be honest. You think they're going to start doing DVDs soon? To finish up on DVDs again? So I can see some of them.
It's a circle of life, people.
You think they would, though, put the pay-per-views out there, would you not?
Well, I think so.
I'm surprised they haven't yet.
I think their streaming service is through the TNT website. I might be totally wrong on that. I know they've obviously got a bit of a thing with Fight TV for the pay-per-views, but I think in terms of the weekly shows...
You can still buy the pay-per-views now, can't you, on Fight app? Yeah, I think so.
Once you buy it, you can keep it. It's unlimited rewatches.
Well, that's cool. That's cool.
So I've brought the last 2 shows, and I know the guys who across the pond were on about the pricing for us, like £15 a show. You know, I'm basically looking at one really good match and maybe 2 others, which is what Revolution was. So I know I did my unpopular opinion about it, but that was only because I was reading things like this is a 10 out of 10 show. I was like, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, but we know why that's a 10 out of 10 show for some people.
Don't get
wrong. A five minute Sammy Guevara versus Darby Allin match. Now, I've not seen it. I fully believe, given the guys in it, it was a solid match. But in 5 minutes, they're never going to have a 5-star classic unless you're, you know, a keen observer, shall we say.
The thing with that match is, it's about 10 minutes of brawling high spots before the bell actually rings, so it's probably 15 minutes all told.
Here he comes. A perfectly acceptable TV match between those two.
Well, I will say the tag title match is an all-timer. It's flippy shit. Yes, it is, but it's flippy shit with a story and psychology that you don't get.
Oh, in a baseball cap.
Bulldog, just go on, David. Go on, get yourself down, mate.
I forgot how he came down in a backwards baseball cap during this. Well, Rude getting a shot in. Here we are. What's the Lloyds of London hear about this?
I was listening to another podcast recently, and they described Rick Rude as the insurance salesman, or as an insurance salesman.
That's how the intro did.
I thought he was the insurance policy, which is slightly different from somebody that's going door to door, going
just like, looking for business. Here we go.
Double choke slam. That's how you round this one off.
What a show, gentlemen! Every bit
fade to black.
Every bit as good as I remember it.
All timer.
That's the first time I've seen that show all the way through. That was fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
All killer, no filler, kids.
See if I ever get the time where I can just binge watch. I might start go back watching all these old Raws. Imagine a time where I could go back and had all that time in my hands to go and binge watch stuff.
You can whisk through them. These ones are 90 minutes on the network. You can crash through them.
We were on about that while you were doing the shopping, how quick this all flies.
Especially this time, that
flew by. I remember watching the first few, and given that like they're only an hour, oh, they were They were a breeze to get through.
97 Raw, from when it turned to Raw is War to pretty much now, this point. Oh, don't get any better.
World class. No, still world class stuff.
Absolutely.
Stands up. Whatever way you choose to look at it, it stands up.
Yeah,
every facet of pro wrestling that they gave you in 97, they still give you now when you sit down and watch it.
The Attitude Era, the 98, 99, 2000, that's the stuff that gets sort of more fondly remembered or built up as the best Raws. I take all anything from 97 over that, pretty much.
Oh, likewise. There wasn't an ounce of fat on this show at all.
It doesn't, like, it can be quite convoluted. And some of the things, like a man losing his wife for 30 days because he lost a wrestling match. That doesn't make it bad. It's the stuff just now that's convoluted. It is just rubbish.
Well, it's the whole thing as well. 97 has got to be like the best year for wrestling as well, because, you know, obviously we're talking about WWE, but, you know, WCW was pretty much at its peak. So was ECW. You know, ECW was just getting on pay-per-view. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not a kicking the tail off November to November coming up now. Oh, no. Lovely stuff.
Oh, that went very well, gentlemen. I'm not saying we're gonna do it again, but that did work.
Maybe we will wonder. That worked very well. And for those of you who stuck with us from start to finish, thank you. We hope you've enjoyed it as much we have. Reliving that superb edition of Raw.
Yes, thank you. And for those who may be listening in the future, we might put this out, who knows. If you do listen in the future, let us know your thoughts, always. And you can ask any questions that you wanted, that you were dying to ask as you went through this, chatting with the chaps, but didn't get a chance.
Hit us up on the Twitter at PTBNSpecialRel1 is the handle.
Yes.
PTBNSpecialRel1.
So our newest regular episode, as Rory mentioned, was out this weekend. So that's available on the PTBN Wrestling feed. We are recording our next regular edition with the wonderful Miss Jennifer Smith on Tuesday night. So
Tuesday, as we record this, yep.
So hopefully that is the plan at the moment. And then, as Rory also mentioned, me and him will be doing episode 2 of his wonderful new show.
Yes, do watch out for episode 1 of Scene Your Video with Callum and I, which should be dropping hopefully anytime soon. And the one Smack and Whack'em with Mr. Locke, recording that next week. So watch out for that too. Yeah, he is right.
Excellent. hopefully we made myself and Rory made UK Rampage 1993 a bit more bearable listening through us than it would be.
I am sure you did, gentlemen. I'm sure you did.
We did. We did our best. The source material made it tough, but we did our best.
And we did get our fair share of football references in as well. So fear not.
I would expect nothing less.
I think Rory uttered the words Tony Daly at one point.
With good reason, though. It fit the timeline. Listen.
It did, actually. It wasn't as if we were watching going, oh, yeah, so Typhoon versus Brutal and Blur. Oh, by the way, Tony Daly.
Oh, boy.
It was properly in.
He's reminded me of some British winger of the early 90s. Oh, yeah, Tony Daly.
Listen, and all will be revealed if you know who Tony Daly is. Everybody, just want to say one more thing before I sign off. Please stay safe out there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Just do what you need to do. If you need to go out, fine. Don't be. Just be sensible about it, everyone, and just make sure you stay safe. And you can, if we ever do this again, you're still able to join in.
Quite right.
So I think we've lost Ben already. So I think that might be a good time, Rory, for us to we've rambled enough. We've done our plugs. We've implored everyone to stay safe. So thanks.